The psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us shout joyfully." Isn't that great? We're shouting joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And let us come before His presence, the Scripture says. Come before the presence of the Lord and be able to give Him glory and honor and thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully. And you can read that in Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, as I have paraphrased. But read that and realize just how wonderful and how great our God is. And as we look at this, you know, we should all be thankful. I'm today very thankful for my sore back because it's a result of my family coming together and cooking all day with my wife, and I don't know how she does that. Next year we're going to Bob Evans, and I'll be thankful for that. But you know, there's many things to be thankful for. For the wife who says it's hot dogs tonight because she's home with me and not somewhere out there with someone else. For the husband who's on the couch being a couch potato because he's home with his wife and not out at the bars. For the teenager who's complaining about doing dishes, well, because it means she's at home and not out on the streets. And for the taxes that I pay. Yeah, thankful for that. But I am, because it means that I'm employed, that I'm receiving blessings from God. For the mess to clean up after the party, because it means I've been surrounded by my friends and my family. For the clothes that are fitting a little bit too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. And for the shadow that watches me work. And I had to think about this one because it means that I'm out in the sunshine. For the lawns that need to be mowed, the windows that need to be cleaned, and the gutters that need fixing, because it means that I have a home. I'm also thankful for the complaining that I hear about the government today. And the reason is because that means we have free speech. I'm thankful for the parking spot at the far end of the parking lot at Walmart, because it means that I'm capable of walking. And because I've been blessed with a car, transportation, for my huge heating bill in the wintertime, because it means that God has helped keeping me warm. For the lady behind me who sings a little off key in church. And let me point out the old lady behind me today. But the reason is because I can hear the beautiful songs, the pile of laundry and the ironing that goes with it, because it means we have clothes to wear, the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I have been capable of working. And for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours, because it means I have been blessed with another day of life by our great God. Not everyone has an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, just Friday I walked into Arby's up here around the corner, and as I got out of my car, I saw three young men walking towards the back door of Arby's, the side back door, and I was going to that same door, and they went to pull on it and realized that door was locked. And so we all four of us headed for the next door, which I got there first. And I opened that door and I stood there and waited for them to come that 25, 30 feet. And as they went through the door, all three of them strutted right by me. Not one of them looked at me and not one of them said, "Thank you." Isn't that a shame? Not everybody has this attitude of thanksgiving. But the one thing that they all had in common was an attitude of ingratitude. And that's a shame. And I'd like today to talk to you about the opposite of that toe. I'd like to talk to you about an attitude of gratitude. As you heard in 1 Thessalonians, as Paul wrote these things in verses 16 through 18 of chapter 5, as he said, pray without ceasing and rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18 he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thankfulness. An attitude of gratitude. It means thankfulness. Thankful for God and all of creation, all the things that He's prepared before the foundation of the world so that we could be saved. Thankful for our friends and for those in the church, our brothers and sisters, that we're all members of one body, having one spirit in a united way that just the world can't understand. We need to be appreciative. That appreciation for all the things around us, when you look at the glory of the heavens and all the beautiful mountains and the trees and even the rain, to be, appreciate that, knowing that you know, that could remind us of the days of Noah. It reminds us that God nourishes the earth. He also nourishes us. We need to appreciate these kinds of things. That's what it means to have an attitude of gratitude. That attitude also should be one of gratefulness. That we don't deserve the things that we have. And we should be grateful for what we do have. The roof over our heads, the clothes on our back, the transportation and the family that we have, and days that we have in this world to share things with one another. And of course, grateful for the Word of God that came down from heaven and dwelt among us. And as we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, we were given the Word of God, and we should be grateful for these things. In the book of Thessalonians here, the Apostle Paul, as he goes through this little list of three things, and we're only going to look at one today. We're going to look at verse 18, where he says, in everything thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And he puts these things in perspective. And I would like to focus on this and realize that, you know, it's God's will. He wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. He wants us to be filled with thanksgiving. He says that we give thanks in everything, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and in verse 18, in everything we give thanks. Not just in some things, not just in the things that please us, not just in the things that make us rich, but everything. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, and notice what it says, giving thanks always. And not just always, but for all things. That's what we need to have, that mind to be able to do that. The ESV version there has that we were to give thanks in every circumstance. In every circumstance. So when things are going well, you give thanks. When you're driving down the street and you're bumper to bumper, stopped on the freeway for an hour because of an accident up the road, give thanks that wasn't you involved in the accident. Give thanks that God has taken care of you, that His providence has gone before you. Give thanks that you're breathing and that you're not dead. Every circumstance in life. You know, we had a woman here that gave thanks because she was going to the hospital at Cleveland Clinic and she had cancer and she was giving thanks for that. She gave thanks to God. Many of us remember that. She gave thanks to God because He allowed her the opportunity to introduce Him to doctors and nurses at the Cleveland Clinic as she was approaching that road that would lead to the end of her life. Give thanks. In every circumstance, give thanks. So, and not only to be thankful in everything, but for everything. And note with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 15. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verses 3 through 15. And notice what it says. He's referring to these sinful things, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers and haters of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Boy, those are things that we need to be thankful we're not a part of. Because you know what's really sad is that there are so many people that are thankful for those kinds of attitudes. Those kinds of things it's amazing what this world can do with sin. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and let's look at verses 18 through 21. Just a few verses there. 18 through 21. Listen to the apostle here as he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." And then he says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal Godhead or power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." We think of all the glories, everything that God has done, and they weren't thankful. Even today, people are not thankful. That's the opposite of what God wants for us in our lives. God wants us to give thanks in everything. That is God's will for us in our lives. And as we think of this, it's better understood as we consider the need to give thanks. We have a need to be thankful. We are to have the attitude of gratitude. You know, thankful for what the Father has done for us. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me, and verses 12 and 14. Listen here as the Apostle Paul describes something very powerful. In verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Boy, shouldn't we be thankful for that? God's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's a reason to be thankful. And when He qualifies us, realize that He's really making it possible for us to be with Him for eternity. Is that a reason to be thankful? Look at verse 13. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." You know what the power of darkness is, right? That's the devil. That's the power of the devil over us. That's all the sins that besiege us. And He's delivered us from that power. He's made it possible for us to be freed from sin, which causes our separation from God in eternity. He's made that possible. Is that a reason to be thankful? And He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In other words, He's transferred us, translated us. He's taken us from here in our sinful nature, and He's allowed us to come over here and be in the kingdom, be in the body of Christ, be members of the church, which is going to be delivered one day up into heaven and see the face of their Creator. Is that a reason to be thankful? Well, we have many reasons. In verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin." You know that without Jesus' death on the cross, without His blood, we could not be thankful. And if we participate and if we obey and we become members of the body through our death, burial, and resurrection, our baptism, where we come in contact with that saving blood, we should come out of that water thankful for every day of our life that goes forward from there. You know, and as God's dear children, abounding with thanksgiving, look at chapter 2, verse 7. rooted and built up in Him, established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. He's given us, we mentioned that precious Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. That Word came down. That message from God in the form of Jesus Christ came and preached the gospel, the good news of our salvation to the whole world that's been preached. He gave us the printed Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and all of these things so that we could be taught and that we could have thanksgiving. You know, God loves you so much. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You should be thankful that the God of creation came down from heaven in bodily form to save your soul. You should be thankful. And one of the things that is a part of being thankful is an act. You know, it's one thing to be in the habit of saying thank you. Those young men that came through that door, they might have looked at me and just said thank you, and it's just a passing thing. But to be grateful for what somebody has done for you is an attitude of gratitude. It's a little bit deeper than just saying the words. And to have an attitude of gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for us, that He came down, He established us in the faith, the Word teaches us, and to have thanksgiving for that is much more than just saying thank you. We show our gratitude, our attitude of gratitude, by being in the assembly today. We show that attitude of gratitude by giving of our means today, by taking of the Lord's Supper, by singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs in our heart to the Lord. We show that attitude of gratitude. And realize that when somebody doesn't do those things, they may be thankful for the Lord, but they're not showing their attitude of gratitude. And so we're thankful, and we do that. The thanks that we have is more than just words. And in Colossians chapter 4, and at verse 2, if you notice that thankfulness is a compliment to our prayers. Paul says there, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with all thanksgiving. I want you to think about that for a second. When we think about the prayers and the complement of our prayers and how they arise up to God and as a sweet-smelling savor, our prayers. But you know, a prayer without thanksgiving, I've always taught my children that, you know, you pray to God through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you give thanks to God the Father for everything He's done. You give thanks. But not giving thanks in prayer. William Hendrickson, he beautifully expressed this idea of not giving thanks. He says when a person prays without giving thanks, he's clipping the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise to the throne of grace. We need to pray and give thanks to God for everything, for all things, as we've already looked. You see what he says? A person prays without giving thanks, he's clipped the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise. Secondly, and as we realize these things, this attitude of gratitude, it's a key. This is a key to our spiritual health. For example, thankfulness is a key. Thankfulness helps us to overcome our anxieties. The Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That's what he says. Let your requests be known to God. Think of what that means, that you're speaking to the Creator. You're speaking to the Father. You're speaking to the Savior. You're speaking to God. In obtaining that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding in Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 7, that's something that we will receive. as we pray to God, as we give thanks to God for all things, as we trust in His providential care, as we look to Him as our Father, as the one who's adopted us into His family. And so now we're children of God, and we can be thankful for that. And when we understand how God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present in our lives, that God is the one who's never going to leave us nor forsake us, we can be thankful. And we should be thankful. But when we understand these things through His Word, the power of His Word, that gives us the ability to have a peace that this world does not understand. In times of trouble, to have peace, knowing God's in charge. In times of plenty, we have peace, knowing God's in charge. When there's confusion and strife, we have peace, knowing God is ultimately in charge. That peace that surpasses all understanding is the peace that will guide our, it will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. That's a powerful thing. And it completes the will of God. Remember in the text, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the full circle. So how do we be thankful in everything is very important. You know, when we give thanks in everything, when we pray without ceasing, we're doing the will of God, and we can rejoice. And so if we desire to have the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy that's inexpressible that comes from God and being in a relationship with God, you know, that's what Peter described in 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 8, that inexpressible joy. And we all have that because of God. Be thankful. So how do we do that? First of all, we remember all that God has done. Everything. All the good works that God has done. What are we thankful for? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Man, we're thankful. We're thankful that God said, let there be light. We're thankful that God said, let there be a firmament. We're thankful that God said, let there be dry land. We're thankful that God said, let there be a sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens. We're thankful that God created all the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air. We're thankful that God created all the creatures that walk upon the earth, including man, woman. Be thankful. Because in that process, God has opened a door that we, our souls can be saved for eternity. That was the purpose behind the whole thing. To bring Jesus Christ down, to eliminate sin, to overpower sin, be victorious. So be thankful. Because that's exactly what God has done. You know, if we love God and have responded to His call, we should be thankful. In 1 John chapter 5 and at verse 3, you remember what John wrote? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We understand the love of God, and we respond to that. In 2 Thessalonians, the apostle, or John, Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 13 and 14, we are what? Bound to give thanks to God. It's something that we just must do. And we give thanks to God always for the brethren, for the Lord. Why? Because from the beginning He chose us for salvation. Can we be more thankful? Sure we can. He wants us to be saved by belief in the truth. And He's given us this truth, John 17, verse 17. It is His word. Be thankful. In Romans chapter 6 and at verse 17, the apostle Paul said, be thankful that you, though you were slaves to sin, what? You obeyed what? From the heart. He's allowed us that choice. Have you obeyed from the heart? Can you sit here today and say, I'm thankful because the blood of Christ has washed me from my sins, washed my sins from me. I've obeyed from the heart. I heard the Word of God preached. I understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept that. I will make that confession before men. And I realize that this world is a sinful world and that all these things around me that are happening day to day, the shootings and the hatred and the fighting and the wars, all these things, God can remove me spiritually from these things. And He's promised to do that. If I repent of my sin and I turn away from those things towards God. And then I'm baptized into Christ, immersed in that water, and I receive the forgiveness of sins as I'm raised up out of that water by the glory of the Father to walk in a new life. Can you be thankful and say that I've done all these things? Can you be thankful? Well, if we love God and we've responded to His call, we certainly can. And realize that loving God, that presumes that we have an obedience to His will, 1 John 5 and 3. Responding to His call presumes that we've obeyed the gospel, as we mentioned in 2 Thessalonians. And then in Romans 6 and 17, we obey from the heart. Our heart receives that seed of the Word of God, and we're thankful, and we respond by obeying the form of doctrine that is delivered to us. All we can also, therefore, glorify God in our tribulations. Everything that happens, we can glorify God. Remember, all things work together for good, right? All things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And as we think of this in Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 through 4, we think of that we glory in the tribulations, Paul said, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, if we go through that line and we persevere, at the end of that line, what do we have? We have hope that comes from God. It produces character, but the bottom line is, in verse 4, Paul says it produces hope. And hope is a great motivator for thanksgiving. We have hope that Jesus will keep His word, that Jesus has gone and ascended up into heaven to prepare a place for us, that Jesus will come back and return to receive us unto Himself, and that where He is, we may be also. We have hope in the fact that He promised that the dead in Christ will be raised up, and that we who are still alive will be raised up together with them into the clouds, where we will be with the Lord forevermore to see the face of God. We have hope. And we should be thankful for those great and precious promises. And you know, when we think about this character and this hope, you think about the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 4. Boy, those Jews hated Peter and John. Those Jews, they just wanted them to stop talking about Jesus. But you see, they had an attitude of gratitude. They knew who they should be grateful for, and it wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the religion of the Jews. It wasn't the law of Moses, but it was the law of Christ. And when you look at that in Acts chapter 4, and you realize that they had been told, you're not supposed to talk in the name of Jesus, then they threatened them with threatenings and beatings, and they sent them out telling them, don't do that. What did Peter and John do? They had an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. And they said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. But for we cannot yet speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. They were thankful. And they weren't going to let anything stop that. Nothing at all. Think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. As turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Let's just look at this. Acts chapter 14. And we're going to look, as we see this, In Acts chapter 14, notice verse 19. It tells us that the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitudes. What did they do? They stoned Paul and drug him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Think about Paul. Now, does Paul have a reason to be thankful? Sure he does. Because even though they stoned him and drug him out of the city because of his preaching Jesus, and they thought he was dead, he wasn't. And in verse 21, it says that when they preached the gospel to that city, Barnabas and Paul. They went off and they preached the gospel to that city. He was thankful. He had an attitude of gratitude, not for the fact that the disciples came and took him away to safety, not that he didn't die, but because Jesus Christ died for him on the cross. And in verse 22, you see what it says? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You see, he had a great attitude. Didn't matter what happened to me. What matters is that we must, and even through tribulations, we must preach Christ. That's a great, great hope as we look on. And remember also that we can therefore rejoice in our persecution. We can do that. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. You remember that? All those blessed aspects that he brought. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, and he begins there by saying, blessed are they which persecute you for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Happy are you. You know, we could say, you're thankful. I'm being persecuted for righteousness. And Jesus says, blessed are you. And he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're thankful. And he goes on there to say, blessed are you when men shall rival you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you were among a good crowd. Even in persecution, we should be happy. We should be thankful. We can rejoice in the trials. James chapter 4 tells us that. Knowing that the kingdom is ours, knowing that our reward is in heaven and it will be great, we can rejoice. So, listen, we can rejoice in those trials. Count it all joy, James says, when you fall into diverse trials or tribulations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete or entire. And listen, that brings us to Thanksgiving. When you know that all these things are happening, that regardless of what the circumstances are, God is in control. Be thankful. And expressing that thankfulness in our prayers. Every prayer. We'll include thanksgiving in our prayers. We read that, Philippians chapter 4, and at verse 6. Every time you pray, give reason for thanksgiving. Think about that. When we think about a man, there's a gentleman, Johnson Oatman. He's the one that wrote that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Be thankful. And as we go on here and we think about all these wonderful reasons for thanksgiving, we also realize that we can face things even in hard times. Remember Daniel? Daniel chapter 6. The satraps, they got together. They set this up so that anybody who prayed to God and didn't obey the edicts of the king that the king Darius signed, they'd be thrown in the den of lions. And what did Daniel do? He went, opened his windows, knelt down, as was his custom, and he prayed three times a day. What happened? He was thrown into the den of lions. He was caught, thrown into the den of lions. What happened? The king Darius came, and with great emotion, he looks down in the hole and says, "Daniel, did your God save you from the lions?" "Yeah, my God saved me from the lion's mouth. He locked those jaws up, and so I was not hurt." Thankful. To think back on these events, to understand how important that is. Look at what Daniel said there in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and he went into that upper room. Toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. That was his custom. And we certainly should learn from Daniel. Even when facing life's threatening, the persecution, the fact that you may be killed, he gave thanks always. And what's the result? And Daniel, let's look at Daniel 10, or chapter 6 with me here. Daniel chapter 6. And I want you to see here exactly what Daniel did. You know what's really amazing is as we look at this? Daniel had great respect for God. He gave thanks to God always. And it pays off. The bottom line is that it pays off. Verse 20 through 22 of Daniel chapter 6. And when he, and that's Darius the king, came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" And then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me. Because," here it is, "because I was found innocent before him. Also, king, O king, I have done nothing wrong before you." You see, that's the attitude of gratitude for everything that God has done. And Romans 8:28, again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You love God? Things can work out for good, for God's good, on your behalf. His providence working in your life when you love God. So what can we conclude? That there are great benefits of having an attitude of gratitude. That the practice of this giving thanks brings peace that surpasses all understanding. One of the greatest benefits is that we can rejoice always, as Paul said. Pray without ceasing. And you do this and you'll not only have that peace, but it'll increase more and more to your good. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, after having told us that all things work together for good, he says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, sword?" What is that? It's going to separate us. "As it is written," he says, "for your sakes all day long we are slaughtered, accounted as sheep for the slaughter." But we still can be thankful because he says, "Yet in all these things we are conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor the height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, Jesus our Lord." So the question today is, are you thankful? Have you done and obeyed the gospel? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for the creation? Are you thankful that ark floated up? Are you thankful that God put a rainbow in the clouds to remind us of His covenant? Are we thankful that God allowed Jacob to see his son Joseph alive? Are we thankful that God, through His providence and through the centuries, has shown us the light that is Jesus Christ? That He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might be saved through Him. And if you're thankful for those things and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, today is the day to show your attitude of gratitude by obeying the gospel of Christ. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. And if you're thankful and you haven't quite had that attitude of gratitude and it's kind of slipped away into sin, today you can change all that. We have an invitation today. If you have any need at all, come forward as we stand and as we sing.